opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Well, good morning. And it is a bit of a cold and drizzly one here in the state of Jefferson up this morning. Not that I'm complaining. Getting rain and weather this late into the season is fantastic for us. I will take it every time as long as it'll go. The longer it is, the longer fire season holds off and the shorter it is. So I don't know if you all have been watching, but up there in Canada, where a city of 80,000 people have been evacuated due to that wildfire, and it's just kind of a frightening tale. I think a lot of us here in the North States should take that as a warning of what can happen. I mean, that fire came up fast, came out of nowhere, and a city basically the size of Reading had to be evacuated in its entirety because of a fire. You know, how far away are we from an event like that if we don't start properly maintaining our resources and our forests and things like that? But anyways, not to be a downer first thing in the morning, but our hopes and prayers are with our good hockey-playing drunken cousins to the north. I hope everything turns out okay pretty well with them. And as always, I'm here with Wynn Carpenter. Morning, Wynn.
Good morning.
How goes things?
So far, so good.
Yeah? Any good news from the front?
Oh, there's always good news.
What you got?
We took another step forward. We just keep stepping forward.
Oh, so any updates on the legal case or anything else proceeding along with some of the Board of Supervisors, anything like that?
Zero on the Board of Supervisors, as far as I know. But we do have a candidate running in the Board of Supervisors mess.
Well, that's...
I'd like to support.
Well, one of the things that we're probably going to have to go through and do again, because we did the last election cycle, as new elected officials come in, they're very curious about what the state of Jefferson is, and sometimes we've already had to go back and revisit other boards of supervisors and explain to them the process all over.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be coming up 5, 6, or 7 months, and then everybody will be seated again in January, and so that'll be interesting. But hopefully we're a little bit further down the road when that goes on.
Amen.
So I don't know. Today I think we're just kind of looking at talking about some of the interesting things and the interplay that's possible between a sovereign state and the federal government. And the different things that we've been doing. I've been looking into Article 4 and, you know, what the states are entitled to for their sovereignty and some of the different things that are going on. You know, full faith and credit shall be given in each state to the public acts, records, and judicial proceedings of every other state. So that full faith and credit is pretty open and a pretty determined set of language. You know, that means that the states can kind of pass whatever they want and the federal government will operate in full faith and credit with those. Is that not what it means?
Sounds good. Sounds like it to me. But
exactly.
Again, I'm not a legal scholar by any stretch of the imagination.
So if full faith and credit is to be given in each state, then that should mean that the federal government's not to interfere.
True.
You would think. And the Congress may by general law prescribe the manner in which such acts, records, and proceedings shall be proved and the effect thereof. That means that they have to go through the constitutional process.
There we go.
All right. They have to be tested, and once they pass the constitutional process, which the Congress shall ensure,
mm-hmm.
then full faith and credit shall be given.
Okay.
And the federal government is not to interfere. And then the one that gets me is the next one, Section 2. The citizens of each state shall be entitled to all privileges and immunities of citizens in the several states.
So they get everything that the other state citizens currently have.
Yeah, which really brings me into curiosity with California and its Second Amendment laws. Now, if the several states have immunities to having their gun rights infringed upon, if they are awarded the abilities to open carry, to carry concealed weapons, if they're afforded those privileges of the several states under federal law, we should be awarded those privileges under the federal law, should we not?
You mean like our nearby neighboring states, Texas, Arizona, Idaho?
Yeah. Oregon.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I've been reading into some different things about the interplay that's possible and trying to understand it a little bit better, because a lot of what we will face will not be the persecution and the idiocy of California and Sacramento. A lot of times we don't have to worry about the interdiction of our federal government because Sacramento is willing to go above and beyond what the federal government's doing voluntarily.
Yeah.
You know, so our primary fight is with Sacramento, but looking long game, once we have the state of Jefferson, what are the kind of things that are we going to have to deal with? You know, at the outset, we're going to have to make a very direct and positive statement and a very affirmative statement. These are our lands. They are to be divested to us upon statehood. Okay, there's no question. And we can hire whoever we want to manage those lands. We can create a state agency to manage those lands. We can hire it out to a private company. We can take Boy Scout volunteers on the weekends to manage the lands. We can do whatever we want with them because they're our public lands, not the federal government's public lands. We don't have to allow BLM in or Forest Service or anything like that. But some of the reading that I've been doing, we have to make a very definitive and clear declaration at the time. These are our lands. They shall be managed in a manner prescribed by us.
Then that makes sense. You want to have the rules set before you as you get going in through the process so that everybody on our side of the game understands where we're headed, and everybody on the other side of the game, they know where we stand.
Absolutely. And then the other thing that we need to, some of the other things that we need to look at is, and when dealing with the federal government, is to stop these carrot and stick tactics of our own federal government. They know that they are violating the law, that they're violating the Constitution, they're violating the precepts of what they're supposed to do in our sovereignty, but they do it with bribes instead of force. Okay, they taxate us. They pass these laws that force states to create agencies that they can't afford, so that the federal government can come in and bribe them with money to get their way in to enforce false laws and to deny sovereignty to states. We need to develop methods to stop that right off the bat and never even let it get going or enable it to take off and get going.
Wouldn't that be the open carry?
Well, that would be part of it, and it would be part of you know, the construction of our legislature and our Constitution to disallow things like that.
Make it illegal, if you will, that does not occur.
Well, that's going back into the full faith and credit, I believe, clause in Article 4. If full faith and credit is to be given to the states and the acts that they accord or anything, I don't think the federal government can come in and say, we don't have faith that you're handling this correctly. We need you to impose this agency under this federal law. That's not full faith and credit.
Right, right.
And just starting to kind of get a grasp on what that meant, because full faith and credit to me automatically makes me think of money.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And it's full faith and credit should be given to the acts, the laws, the different things. It means the government's to leave them alone.
Right.
And assume with full faith that they're going to operate well. So where do they granted the authority to say, we don't have faith that you, the state of Jefferson, are maintaining your environment properly. You have to institute this agency under the Federal Environmental Protection Act. No, we don't.
No.
And for several reasons, you know. And that doesn't mean we're going to run around and cut down the forest and pollute our water or any of that other nonsense. I think they've finally given up that argument as well.
We hope. If they start giving up enough arguments, then it should be a shoo-in, right?
Well, I'm kind of curious, how many arguments do they really have left? That any have?
One, they just don't want change.
Yeah.
And because they're scared. And the biggest proponents against it, you know, you talk to citizen Jeffersonians that are living out there, when they say no, no way, no how, it's because they're scared. They've got their retirement set up, or they've got something going.
No, they don't.
Well, in their mind,
yeah.
They have that set up, and they're good. They're comfortable where they are today. They're not looking down the road. They're not looking past next week or next month or next year, trying to figure this stuff out. And they're scared to death. Or they do think they have it figured out, and they're scared, so they just want to keep it status quo as long as they can, and then they'll deal with the failure when that occurs. Well, we're trying to prevent failure for us up here and trying to fix that.
Well, that's what gets me, too, is the lack of concern for their posterity.
Right, yeah.
And that's one of the ones that gets me, is the people that I know would give everything for their kids or their grandkids,
mm-hmm.
you know, no matter what it meant for them at the end of it. And it surprises me, some of the people that we've lost with that.
Well, the funny thing, too, is like some of them that I've spoken to are the baby boomers. My birth year is the tail end of the baby boomers. And so they're 10, 15, 20 years ahead of me on that. Well, their parents are the ones that fought in World War II, for God's sake.
Yeah.
They're the ones that gave it all, some of them. And they don't have an inkling of some of that. That patriotism and that survivalship and everything else that we need to have in order to make it right. And that's what I really question. It's like, what happened to them? How did they become the entitled generation?
Yeah, how do you not know what your mom and dad did?
Exactly.
How are you aware of that? How did you become such spoiled, rotten little brats?
Even if you're counter to everything that they did and believed in, isn't there something that tells you that that's wrong because they sacrificed everything for you? I mean, I know my parents did.
Yeah.
They sacrificed everything for me. I know that.
I know. I don't know. I have a hard time getting my mind around it because it does kind of boggle. And I think for a large part, we are surrounded by people like that,
mm-hmm.
that have that leftover frontier attitude. They have that kind of go get them, you know, and that it's part of what identifies our culture up here as who we are. Whereas other places, it's not necessarily the same. You are looking at second and now third generation with the mindset of entitlement.
Mm-hmm.
I'm owed something.
Right.
Somebody owes me something. It's your job. It's your responsibility to take care of me. You know, it's... And I don't... Well, I know where it comes from and I know where it's going. I don't understand why certain people allow it to continue and exist.
Well, in the good book, it says if he doesn't work, he doesn't eat. You know?
That's true. That's true. We better get off to our first break here. And, you know, that's why the churches were the first form of welfare,
mm-hmm.
is if you were hungry, they'd find some work for you to do so you could eat.
That's right.
Not just give you food.
That's right.
Because that's not helping anybody.
Nope.
So, all right, we'll see you on the other side here.
Did you know that California was never supposed to be just one state? Before the state was formed in 1850, there was discussion of forming three states instead of one. California has an area larger than seven East Coast states combined, and it takes 14 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other. California is simply too large to govern. Rural communities are being outvoted by more densely populated areas. The state of Jefferson is the solution. Please visit SOJ51.net to show your support.
Petroleum Company, Northern Lights Energy. Hello, Frank and Kathy Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Green grass is everywhere, so come on in and pick up some ethanol-free 93 and get started on the weed-eating lawnmowers. We are filling propane bottles like a factory. If you're in a hurry, we have the exchange program also. We have a lot of race car fuel ready to go. If now's the time you want to talk about upgrading your kerosene heater or on-demand water heater, give Johnny a call. He's doing a lot of free estimates. We have bulk oils in your container or ours and a lot to choose from. Open on Saturday in Reading till 3:30. So stop in and say hello. Northern Lights Energy. When you want to talk to a real person and not an answering machine, give us a try. Reading, Corning, Weaverville. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Not your average petroleum company. Northern Lights Energy.
There are few things you can count on. In the North State, it's gonna get hot. Well, count on this. Solar shades from Budget Blinds. Solar shades keep sunlight out. The use of solar shades help in reducing indoor temperature during our hot summer days by minimizing the amount of heat allowed indoors during the day, reducing the need for air conditioning. At Budget Blinds, creating your perfect atmosphere at home or at the office is our goal. Budget Blinds comes to you with the latest trends in textures, patterns, colors, and now solar shades. What else? Now listen to this. Ready? What about the exterior? Budget Blinds will help you beat the heat this year with exterior solar screens. That's not all. Install exterior solar screens and receive a rebate of up to $500 from Reading Electric Utility. Did you hear that? Count on being cooler this summer with exterior solar screens and solar shades. And a rebate up to $500 to boot. Wow.
Give Budget Blinds a call today. 226-9027. Or visit us on the web at www.budgetblinds.com.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Get away with making that song sung like before the session of every state legislature. Like, we can get the choir in there and they got to sing that over the opening session.
I bet we could, and we'd have a few swinging bats in there.
We might. I just think it'd be fun. Let's make government fun.
There you go. People want to come and do a good job and go home with a light heart and ready, you know.
Get them inspired to get up and going and remind them we're supposed to be moving
up.
Don't pass anything that's not for the good of the citizen.
That's right.
You know, maybe, we could set up some loudspeakers in there and just, like, have weird whispers. Do the right thing. Just out of nowhere.
And have some ghost-looking things. That comes flying across.
Something. There's got to be a way to keep these people in line. Yeah, because, I mean, really, at the end of the day, what are we're asking for a government and laws that are made for the benefit of the people.
Well, you know, when they exit the room after they pass a law, they get to pick three doors. One has a guillotine.
Exactly. I still like the Athenian thing where people vote and the worst politician of the year is banned for 10 years.
I like that.
I think that the Athenians had that one dead on. But, I mean, we're asking for laws that benefit the people.
Mm-hmm.
We're asking for those laws to be equally applied to everybody.
That's right.
And do it as little as possible.
Bingo.
That's it.
Yeah.
So, I think with that, we've got Bob's taking another phone call, but we will have Round Mountain Bob here on the radio in a second. You got something to win?
Yeah. I just want to kind of give everybody an update. Last Sunday, we went to Lassen County for their town hall over there.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. A lot of great patriots over there. A lot of good discussion. There was
a couple
good
of knuckleheads over there, too.
Yeah, that's all right. They're everywhere. Yeah. That's what makes us, you know, makes Jefferson. But we had some really good questions and good interaction, and they're hungry for the information. They had quite a few new people coming into the fold there, and that was really nice to see.
Yeah.
And great support over in Lassen, as always. So I'm going to give a shout-out to the committee over there. They did a great job putting that together, and it was well done. So thank you very much. The other thing, too, is the Reading Patriots has a new location, 3276 Bocelli Lane at the Vineyard Church. And we meet on Mondays, and program starts at 6.
And so the Jefferson meetings are now at 5:30 there, I believe?
They are at 5:30, yes. And so we have a good quick half-hour meeting on what we're doing next because we are a very busy group. We are one of the busiest groups in the Jefferson Territory, and we are constantly out doing stuff, and we are helping other Jefferson groups.
You guys remind me of a beehive. You go in, there's activity, and there goes some of the bees, and then they come back. And it's great what you guys do, and the energy and the what you guys have really done is fantastic.
Well, you know, everybody in there, we all have these great ideas on stuff. Some things we do, some things we kind of look at each other like, okay, maybe not. You know, you just never know what's going to happen, or maybe the timing isn't right yet for some of those other ideas.
Mm-hmm.
But we still have the ideas, and we have busy worker bees. Everybody's out there doing their thing, you know, and there's not a bad soul in the group, and they're out there hustling and making things happen and getting connected with everybody. So, you know, we're in parades, we're doing all that kind of fun stuff. And like yesterday in the Cottonwood Rodeo Parade, one of our friends was down there, Don, with his mules and had his wagon going through and had a couple of good patriots with him, and they're all just having fun with it. So that's what it takes, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So they're out there making things happen.
Well, we better get to Bob, or we're gonna keep going.
Sorry, Bob.
Hey, that's okay. Don't worry about it. I love what you guys are doing. Hey, you know, you were talking about you wondered why some of the people in my generation, I am a baby boomer. I was born in 41.
We forgive you.
Actually, 44 I was born, and not 41. My brother was born in 41. But the thing is I had an aunt and uncle over in Hawaii in Pearl Harbor. An uncle anchored 2 miles offshore on ship, and he saw all that. He fought in that. My dad was up on Greenland. He did breaking of German senses and what was going on for the U-boats and the ships and things that came out of that area. And what happened is these people have, and my aunt being a nurse there on Hawaii, they'd seen and touched and were around so many bodies that were just ripped apart, okay? And they tried putting it together. It was like a bad puzzle. And when they came home, they did not speak about this when they had children. I didn't know much of what my dad and uncle and stuff did till my mom was ready to pass away. My dad, you'd ask about him, the only thing he would say is this United States is worth fighting for and you better fight to the death of yourself to keep it. And, you know, his brother, I had a lot of people in our family in the service, and they all felt the same way. And they didn't tell you much. All they told you was it was one horrible thing and something you did not want to see or be involved in. Now, their stuff coming back, you know, you got this PTSD and all this stuff. they didn't have that in World War II. You come back, you were with your family or you weren't with your family anymore. I mean, it was just, and most of these people would not speak about it. That's why a lot of the kids my age at 70 did not know until we were 50 years old what our parents did in World War II. That's how bad that was. You know, and when this comes about, how do you talk to this to your kids? How do you explain to them that you may have killed 20 or 30 people? Do you ever kill anybody and be able to talk about it? You know, it's a hard, hard thing to do.
Agreed.
And
yeah.
All I'm doing is I'm not making an excuse for them, but they gave us a life. They gave us freedom. They gave us everything this world has today and then some. But they did not give us our government as a piece of crap that it is.
All right. Well, hey, that's a great story. Thank you, Bob. Thank
you. So, you guys have a good one. We'll
talk to you later. That is an interesting perspective on why, you know, because we have lost so much in America because people aren't aware of what we're losing, and people aren't aware of how we're losing it and how vital it is for us to have it. And but, you know, Bob brings up a good point. I mean, what parent wouldn't want to protect their children from something like that?
Right.
What parent wouldn't want to protect them from the knowledge of that? You know, and it's kind of that old statement, the best intentions.
Right.
I mean, we invaded Normandy there in France, and the Germans kept us pinned down on that beach for so long. Our gunships were killing our own soldiers. Our gunships killed 10,000 of our own soldiers before they quit firing because they didn't know. They thought they were going to take that beach, go on up the mountain, and away they went. And that's not the way it worked out.
Hey, Bob, we got to get to our break here at the bottom of the hour.
You bet.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob.
Have a good one.
And with that, if you guys have any questions or comments, this is KCNR, Free Fire Radio for the North State. We can be reached at 530-605-4567.
It's getting eerie quiet, won't stay like this for long. Even the crows that fly in, they know it's going. You could tell by the red sky. There's something brewing. You had your chance to run and hide. I guess you blew. The clouds are turning gray. Better pray for your saving grace. It's just a little too late.
Do you think that the government is going to take care of you?
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Sovereign Minds Radio moves to a new time, 9 to 11 a.m. Sundays. Sovereign Minds Radio, the place to get your news before the revolution starts.
Each Saturday at 9 o'clock, it's the Ron Largent Show, talking about Reading. And we have great community sponsors. They include Russell Cleaning Service for carpet cleaning, the Shasta Athletic Club to keep you really fit, and Zach Bay State Farm Insurance, your good neighbor agent in Reading. Each week, we cover many interesting topics. Our goal is to inform you of what's happening. So tune in each Saturday at 9 o'clock to keep informed. The Ron Largent Show. It's the happening place.
Come on out May 14th and 15th for Haven Humane's Dogathon Festival. From 1 to 5 p.m. on Saturday, May 14th, start your weekend with free family and pet-friendly activities, canine demonstrations, splash dogs, fly ball, vendors, food, and our very own West Munster Family Dog Show. At 5 p.m., enjoy dinner and dancing at the Boots, Scoot, and Doggies Barbecue and Concert featuring Chad Bushnell, all at Haven Humane Society just off 273. On Sunday, put on your tennies, leash up your dog, and come out to Turtle Bay for Haven Humane's 5K and 10K run walk. For barbecue tickets and race registration, go to havenhumane.org.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Reading Yellow Cab. At Reading Yellow Cab, they have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night on the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Reading Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Reading Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation and clean, comfortable cabs. Give them a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
When I turned 18, I couldn't wait to vote. After all, voting is a privilege for all Americans, right? Then I did the math. Did you know that the northern third of California only has 3 out of 80 seats in the Assembly and 3 out of 40 seats in the Senate? Northern California has no representation, and my vote doesn't count. Splitting from California and forming the state of Jefferson is the only remedy. Please visit soj51.net for more information.
please donate now to help restore representation.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Welcome back to the stage, Jefferson. Weird how a guy like Billy Joel gets it.
Yeah. You know, we didn't start the fire.
We didn't start the fire. It's always been burning.
Yep.
But this nation is responsible for stoking and securing that fire.
That's right.
So with that, I think we got Gary Hollihan on the phone. Gary, you there?
Good morning, gentlemen, and a fine day it is in Jefferson.
Good morning, Gary.
Wednesday, I attended the supervisorial candidates meeting at the Red Lion. And four or five of the candidates emphasized that, one of the cures for our economic ailments here would be increased broadband or whatever. I'm not computer literate, so you can tell me. How, in your opinion, how valid is that as far as helping unemployment or creating jobs or bringing businesses in here as opposed to other things, which I'll also expand on in a minute?
Let me answer that, I guess, with another question. How many I-beams can internet manufacture? How many trusses for houses can internet hammer together? How many things can the internet manufacture? How many cars can the internet make? How many consumer products can the internet make? How many trees can the internet cut down? How many minerals can the internet mine? How much can the internet take those raw materials and turn them into something in service of use of people?
Very good. I've not considered that. Anyway, so with that in mind, with what I'm about to say, I also mentioned to the powers that be that put on this, the Chamber of Commerce and et cetera, I talked to them before presentation, and also not one of the candidates, surprisingly, and that's Bill Chappell and Chandler, who I know are for the state of Jefferson, mentioned the state of Jefferson. And when I did mention state of Jefferson before the meeting, I got this glass-eyed look and a condescending or a nice smile. But oh yeah, okay, we got to have to go on. So I'd like Janet Chandler or Bill Chappell to call in and tell us whether state of Jefferson was foreboding, because none of the candidates mentioned state of Jefferson and a change of business climate and it seems to me that they're all attaching their wagon to the Titanic. California is sinking, yet same behavior and are thinking the outcome will be different. Not one vision, as Wynn mentioned earlier, both mentioned a few minutes ago, people looking to the future to make changes. None of them that I could see at that presentation thought past the front of their nose. So they all must be very comfortable or whatever. So your thoughts.
I'll be very blunt. The problem with Shasta County is that we have several individuals that have been elected that are self-serving for themselves, their friends, and the interests of the businesses that they're involved in. They use the tactics, the techniques, the laws, and the regulations of California to benefit themselves, enrich themselves, and their friends. We have a cabal within this county through the cities and at the county level that are intentionally attempting to drive up the crime rate by disabling our police forces so that they can depress property prices so their friends, the McConnell Foundation and the Bethel Church, can snatch things up at a cheap rate and basically take control of the city.
That is sad.
It's extremely sad.
Sad, sad, sad. And one of the solutions is the proposed half-cent sales tax. That's going to solve everybody. They're talking about...
it's a lie.
Yes, and we know that, fortunately for us, Gary Cadd is against it, and we'll write the rebuttal. And just by talking, another candidate running for city council came forth. I just asked him, and he just exploded, and he said it's a boondoggle, and it's not good.
It's because of the collapse of CalPERS.
Pardon?
It's because of the collapse of CalPERS.
Right. And anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in. I didn't. The attendance was sparse. I'd say they're about maybe at 80 or 100. And overall, there wasn't anything that anybody was thinking out of the box other than Mr. Venus, who wants the legalization of marijuana. That was the only different idea. Everybody else is more the same.
Even on that point, the legalization of marijuana and taxation of marijuana, how many marijuana plants can the Internet grow?
Good point.
That's one of the most asinine things that I have ever heard. Oh, bring better Internet to Reading and we'll boom economically. Why? So I can play video games faster? So I can look at cat pictures on Facebook? I really? That's one of the stupidest things I've ever heard.
Well, the more I'm involved with the state of Jefferson is, and I talk to Wynn, boy, I'm amazed that only 3%, and that comes from the Revolutionary War, had any backbone or vision of the future to participate. And thank goodness we had those 3%, and hopefully we will have that 3% here for Jefferson and put us on the right track to the future. All right, I thank you very much, gentlemen, and see you at the next meeting. Bye.
Thank you, Gary.
Thank you.
You know, and that's, I don't know, I'm so sick and tired of the nonsensical crap that spews from our local government here. You know, we're going to bring the Internet in. That's our great salvation. What? Do you even believe the crap you say yourself?
Well, one basic thing, when the grid is hit, where's that Internet?
Mm-hmm. How many lights can the Internet turn on? How many candles can it light?
How can it feed you?
Yeah. Is it going to feed your livestock?
Nope.
No.
Not at all.
Is it going to go out and tend your garden?
Nope.
Is it going to drive your kids to school?
Not unless you've got an electric car in the Bay Area. Even that's questionable.
You know? And
really, we have a group of people here that think the idea to build Reading is to build it on the model of L.A. or build it on the model of the Greater Bay Area. They're failing. They've been failing for decades, you idiots.
It's not going to work.
It's not going to work. It doesn't work now. Why would it work here?
We'll just look around the city and see certain things that they have implemented that are of that mindset, and then you see where it's failing, you know, with, say, traffic flow or location of certain businesses and whatnot. It's like, why would they do that? And parking, you know, for certain things. If they want a business to be super successful, why wouldn't they give them more than 30 places to park?
I mean, exactly.
Come on.
Why do they break the bank before you can even break ground?
Right.
Because they don't want you here.
That's right.
They want to give the special privileges and the special permits to their buddies.
Well, and also they got to line their pockets so that they can keep on going with this unfunded liability garbage that they got going on over there. And
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, how is Reading going to come up with 286% of payroll just to pay the retirees? You got to pay 100% of payroll for your employees now. Now we've got to come up with 286% of payroll to pay the retirees. So that's 386% of payroll?
Ain't going to happen.
No. Bankruptcy.
Yeah.
Bankruptcy.
Yeah.
Countywide. Statewide. It's already happened in a little town of Loyalton. They just got their CalPERS bill.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of these things that we said were going to happen, and everybody was like, oh, no, it ain't going to happen. Well, yeah, it is.
It is happening.
So, with that, we've got Chris in Reading.
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, gentlemen. One of the things that is, as I'm listening, has crossed my mind is the notion of weeding a garden. You know, gardens produce fruit for us. They produce, you know, sustenance for us. And we go along and we let all these little seeds blow in. And if we're not pulling out those roots, pulling out those seeds, those weeds by the roots, they start taking over the garden. And ideas are the same way. We constantly get bombarded on TV and stuff that, oh, gee, that's kind of a funny thing. You know, that guy's dysfunctional, ha, ha, ha. But it enters into our psyche, it enters into our mind, and it takes some space. It starts to take over. In terms of economics, Henry Hazlitt, H-A-Z-L-I-T-T, wrote a book called Economics in One Lesson. And he goes about and he dispels all those lies, all that falsehood. So if you really want to get a good idea of what doesn't work and why it doesn't work, I really recommend Henry Hazlitt's book, Economics in One Lesson, because it really ticks off all of those falsehoods throughout the years. And he really brings it down to a couple of basic things, which is that economics, classic economists look at the entire picture of how something works. Is it working short term or is it working long term? And let's face it, most liberal politics is always a short term fix for something.
Mm-hmm.
And whether, and classic economists say, how does it work over the entire system rather than favoring one group over another group? Which, let's face it, liberals are constantly favoring one group over another group. And the notion that we see it all the time coming up here, people get out of that rat hole of the Bay Area or the L.A. Basin, and they come up here where it's nice, but sadly they bring those seeds of weeds, namely those ideas that cause that rat hole, they bring them up here and they want to plant them here. So we do really need to weed out those bad ideas that are choking out, you know, the productive ideas.
We need one big bag of weed and feed out there, don't we?
Yeah, and you gotta pull these weeds out by the root.
Okay.
Don't just pull the top off.
That's right.
I
really
say that's
a
very
exactly
eloquent
why that's a bad idea.
And that's always the hard work when you are weeding. You could just trim them at ground level with a weed eater, okay, done, until they pop back up. But
which
if you go
I
through and pull them out
do.
By the weed, by the root, like you said, then you eliminate the whole weed itself. So you're right.
Yeah. And then once you
every time you just cut the top off, that root gets stronger.
There you go. Yep.
And once you start digging those roots out, you might be surprised at how deep they go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
All right, with that, we got to get off to our last break. But
thank you,
Chris. That was a very eloquent way to put it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, with that, we're off to our last break. We'll see you on the other side, 530-605-4567. This is KCNR.
I'm so scared in case I'm Did you know that Article 4, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution lays out the framework for the state of Jefferson's plan to split California? A state can be formed from the land within another state if the state legislature and Congress approve it with a simple majority vote. 51% is all it takes. Your vote doesn't count in Northern California. California is broken and the time has come for 51. Please visit SOJ51.net and donate now to show your support.
Dandelion. Unique Gifts and Clothing is the hot spot in Reading for all things fashion. Dandelion carries an amazing selection of Brighton jewelry, all the latest clothing lines, and every woman's favorite secret weapon, Spanx. Shop wonderful gifts in all price ranges and receive the best service in town. Check out Dandelion at 1322 Pine Street in the heart of downtown Reading. Dandelion.
Uncle Bob, where did Mount Shasta Springwater come from?
Well, you see, we get wrung out of the clouds as we pass over the top of Mount Shasta. Then we become part of huge glaciers. Then we flow through miles of volcanic rocks. Then we pop out of a spring at the base of Mount Shasta.
Uncle Bob, where did I come from?
You'll have to ask your parents about that one.
Pure and simple, naturally the best. Mount Shasta Springwater.
For free delivery and setup, call 1-800-922-6227. Or go to MountShastaSpringwater.com.
Obtaining a home loan is easier than ever with your local hometown mortgage officer, Megastar Financial. Hi, I'm John Whitmarsh, and I promise to make your home purchase or refinance a smooth experience without headache or hassle. I offer competitive rates for conventional home loans, home improvement, FHA, VA, and USDA loans. So talk to me today, John Whitmarsh with Megastar Financial, because our home is right here, and I want to help you with yours. Call me at 530-945-9660 or find me at MegastarFinancial.com.
Megastar is an equal housing lender, MLS ID 3043.
National News with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
What a fool. All right, come on.
Oh, no, you didn't. Better watch your back, boy. Keep running. This ain't just a game. I'll never stop coming. I got my arsenal. I put out the call. And when I'm finished, y'all, you'll be a rag doll.
Fool, try to diss me, now you're gonna wish you were dead.
Oh no, you didn't.
After I deliver, your blood will be a river of red.
Oh no, you didn't.
Better beware when no one's there to defend you.
Oh no, you didn't.
So many ways to kill, it's gonna be a thrill to end you.
Oh no, you didn't.
Oh no, you didn't. Oh no, you didn't. Oh no, you didn't. Oh no, you didn't. Didn't you? Oh no, you didn't pay me what you owe me. So now it's over for you. Oh no, oh no, oh no,
oh no.
Oh, no.
Such a happy little ditty.
Oh, no, you didn't.
At this point, it could be a theme song for CalPERS.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Bad, I'm bad, so bad. Glad I cashed out of that. Oh, my gosh.
Well, that's we've been talking to a lot of people, and they're going back to their unions. They're going back to their reps, and they're talking, and they're getting told, oh, no, 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 everything's great. Well, let me see the numbers. No, 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 everything's great. Well, no, it's not. And, you know, as we saw in Loyalton, they're the first municipality that we know of to get hit with the bill.
First little one.
Little
and,
one.
And the bill is a huge bill, and there are only five employees.
$1 million a year for five employees.
For five employees.
Imagine what that looks like for a city like Reading.
Oh, my gosh, with 300-plus employees?
Yeah. Well, we've got the city of Reading has almost 700 employees. And
okay.
I think we have a little over that on retirement.
Oh, that's even worse.
So, well, when you work out the interest rate, I remember it comes out of roughly about 286% of payroll to pay retirement.
Good Lord.
But that's because guys like Mike Warren, who's over at Turtle Bay now, and you know these other people that just put their pension through the roof and then cashed out and walked away with the bundle of loot,
yep.
You have to figure out a way to pay those guys now.
Yep.
And everybody in the city sat back and let it happen.
They were all foxes watching the hen house. You know, that's they're not taking care of business like they should.
You know, and there was people down there, Gary Cadd was one of them, that tried to sound the warning and say, hey, this is what's going to come down the road because of this. This is what's going to happen. Oh, no, it won't, Gary. Everything's fine.
Yeah, they make him out to be the bad guy, and he's the one sounding
yeah, he's,
sound
he's
the alarm.
The one that tried to tell everybody, that tried to protect the city. You know, and we need to start paying attention to what's going on and, you know, what's not. You know, you need to indoctrinate yourself in the other direction. You need to learn to identify key phrases. Like when one of your public officials says, oh, public-private partnership, you need to start standing up and screaming, a witch, because that's what they are.
Yeah.
Public-private partnership is known as fascism.
There you go.
It's a socialist form of government where the private party is dictating to the public party what it'll do to benefit the private party,
mm-hmm.
and screw the public party.
There we go.
So,
yeah, we've got enough of that.
Yeah, we've had more than enough.
We need to eliminate it.
I don't know how Shasta County gets out of this. I don't know how Redding gets out of this.
Yeah. Well, we can fix a lot of this with Jefferson if people would
absolutely.
Just understand it and not be so close-minded about it as soon as they hear the word Jefferson.
There is a way out.
A reminder, Jefferson is the vessel for the movement for us to become our own sovereign state.
Mm-hmm.
Once we become that and the process begins for the voting on everything that we do as a new state, the name will also be voted on. So your vote will count. So if you don't like the name Jefferson, you can throw a name in the ring for any name that
I
you
don't
elect.
Care what we call it.
Yes, you can name it anything you want. However, it's got to be voted on by the populace, voting populace of Jefferson. So
mm-hmm.
therefore, throw the name out there. If it gets all the votes, great, wonderful. That's the name of the state. If it's Jefferson, that's the name of the state.
Yeah.
Jefferson is the vessel to make this movement occur to happen. So if people would just understand that and not get their panties in such a bunch, and maybe even
well,
if they learned
if
a few
in,
things, they would support it.
What if in 1776 Thomas Jefferson had written the Declaration of Independence and, you know, written all these other documents and set up the Articles of Confederation and all this other stuff, and everybody was like, this is a great idea, but I hate the name United States.
Yeah.
You're an idiot,
yep. Sam Adams would have just torn them
apart.
He would
have just slapped the living.
He would have torn them up. And you look at the guys that were there in place of doing this. Ben Franklin. I mean, everybody holds him in all this high esteem. He was kind of a...
He wanted the turkey for the national bird.
Yes, that's
but
what
he wanted.
But it
didn't stop the country from...
it didn't, yep. You just look at all these things that were going on with our founders and how they got things going.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of knuckle busting going on. There was a lot of death going on. So
mm-hmm.
where we are right now, this is nothing compared
well, there,
to what
there was
they
people
were doing.
During the Revolutionary War that used the argument that if we get rid of the English, who's going to protect us from the French? I just shut up.
Yeah, we just do it ourselves.
I'm so sick and tired of the nonsense.
Well, another way you can help support that is to donate to the SOJ Formation or State of Jefferson Formation, and you can mail your check or money order to P.O. Box 1364, Shingle Springs, California. That's down in El Dorado County, which is the southern end of Jefferson Territory, 95682. That is where the treasurer lives, and she is wonderful, doing a bang-up job and getting all the monies collected, and we're mm-hmm. getting the money so that we can pay our attorneys to fight this fight. It's part of the process. We have to do this,
mm-hmm.
and anybody that's willing and able to donate on a daily basis, regular basis, whatever kind of basis you want to, one-shot deal, we're willing to take the money to do it. It is not tax-deductible because we are a 501c4. As a C4, we don't turn in your name to the feds that you donated. You can donate any amount you elect to. So, again, that's SOJ Formation, P.O. Box 1364, Shingle Springs, California.
All right, Jefferson, we'll see you next week.
Thank you.
KCNR Shasta Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. That massive Canadian wildfire continues to grow. Alberta Premier Rachel Notley says people will not be going back into towns like Fort McMurray anytime soon.
The gas has been turned off. The power grid has been damaged, and large portions of the city don't have power right now. The water is not currently drinkable. There are no stores open. There's a great deal of hazardous material to be cleaned up.
She spoke to CTV. Canadian officials fear the big fire could double in size soon. People are cleaning up in eastern Colorado after a series of tornadoes swept through yesterday. The National Weather Service says at least four twisters hit Yuma County, about 100 miles east of Denver, near Colorado's borders with Nebraska and Kansas. The storms caused minor injuries and damaged some motorhomes and buildings. Three Spanish reporters who were kidnapped in Syria almost a year ago have been set free this weekend.
These three journalists disappeared